Taking your emails and taking your calls. Ignorant and uninformed.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ignorant and Uninformed, America's favorite podcast. We're coming to you live from beautiful Keystone, Colorado. And
tune in Tokyo.
here at 545 Productions in Consensual Studios. And this is Ignorant and Uninformed. As always, we are your three-legged hosts, Mr. Benji Pickens. Mr. Yeah. Max Sarak.
I mean, it could be considered a leg. I don't know.
I know, right? I mean, it's just sometimes I trip on it. But and I am Ben Hollywood Whitmore, and we're
trip on yours or somebody else's.
Mine. Oh, I see what you did there.
Oh, mm-hmm.
you took my impressive penis joke and then made it about
into a,
made
gay,
it a gay thing.
Yeah. See, I did that. It's so
creative.
Easy with you.
Creative.
Outstanding, Benji.
Why is this their podcast for America? Make America great again.
With our podcast. Wow.
Our podcast.
Did you just...
We're going to make...
Ignorant and Uninformed.
Did you?
To 2016. I did reference Donald Trump
right
there.
Wow. You just plugged Trump.
We're going to drop this podcast in Mexico, and we're going to make them pay for it.
Trump's had plenty of plugs on the top of his head, so he doesn't need one from me.
And actually, I mean, what would you expect from a thing called Ignorant and Uninformed?
Exactly.
Vote Trump.
He threw his
His highest demographic is uneducated white folk. It really is. Uneducated white men. So So I feel like I should vote for him because that's who I am.
Fuck the trend, homie.
He's expecting your vote.
Like, he is, but he's not going to get
the
it.
Trend.
No, and that's good. And I appreciate that about you.
Your show. It is your show because you guys give us all of the topics. Believe it or not, each and every one of you have put a topic in this bowl and gotten your free T-shirt.
Looking at you,
or
Charlie.
You should, Charlie. What the fuck, man?
Charles. Sorry, he goes by Charles now. He's trying to be more grown up.
I still call him Charlie, though.
I know.
I suck at
it's
that.
Hard.
What are you guys talking about?
Charlie. Just some, I don't know, some
ben
random
made
person.
Up shit, and I was just rolling
we're
making, with it.
We're talking about a random person.
Twank us on Twitter, at Ig and Un. Ben will
you should
field
really
your topic.
Just go along with the gags here on the show. I don't know if you've been
I thought
the
there
show.
Was something I missed. Does that happen?
No, I know. It's funny.
Visit the website, ignorantanduninformed.com, and click the topics button. Stream all the episodes. Listen to all the episodes. Find one you like. Judge us by the titles and listen. Let's see. Topics at ignorantanduninformed.com. You can email us that way or hit us up on the Facebooks at
facebook.com/ignorantanduninformed.
Yes, at facebook.com/ignorantanduninformed. Yes. Message the show, become a friend of the show. God damn it, Ben wants to use his cock stick to bang that bowl.
I thought you were going to say drop one in the bowl.
No. I've never liked the drop one in the bowl. I'm not a toilet humor guy, man.
I'm not either.
Listen,
I'm
all
not
of my jokes rely on potty. Potty humor.
I've never been a potty humor type dude. And although we make a lot of dick jokes, I'm really not a dick and fart joke kind of dude either. Like,
okay.
I'm not a dick and fart joke kind of guy, but
sounds
like
Max doesn't believe me.
Well, I mean, you just said, contrary to all the jokes I make, you know, actions.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's funny. This is from our good friend Jay Sievers, currently in
Jay
Fort Collins,
Sievers.
Colorado.
Sievers!
Yeah, indentured servitude in Fort Collins.
That's right. That's
Fort
right.
Collins? It's Fort Collins,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I was like, Greeley. No, that's halfway between. How much molding is too much molding, Jay Sievers? Like crown molding, chair rail?
Yeah, I know what molding is.
Okay.
But how
I
much
would
is
say
too much?
When the whole really loaf time. Of bread is molded, I guess that's yeah. probably a
when
too
you
much molding.
Pick
when
it
you
off.
Can't pick it off, yeah, exactly.
That's exactly right.
If I can't thumb cheese the cheese, then it's too moldy.
If I can't thumb cheese my way to something good, I've done my
so. I would say this has a lot to do with like house accessories, like fluff to make your house look good, kind of a thing. You know what I mean? Like. Just trim work.
It's like too much makeup.
Too much makeup on a person,
on
a, too many
yeah.
accessories on a car
okay.
or a truck.
How much is too much?
Yeah.
Okay.
Too many bangles and dangles.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm just as a design aesthetic in general, I am very anti-clutter.
See, I am too. I'm more of a simple, mm-hmm. like I like simplicity.
I like space.
Yeah.
And I like
and I like negative space mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. I do like negative space, yes. so I don't like... I like the majority of it being negative space. I would rather not have my entire wall covered in pictures, but I would like to have two or three pictures that accentuate the negative space around.
Form over function or function over form?
I am a form follows function kind of person.
Okay. See, I think beauty is actually at the intersection of the two.
I would agree with
personally.
That.
Interesting.
Form and function.
Because, man, I can actually, like, sit back and watch those, like, factory machines churning out, like, fucking separating egg whites from egg yolks. Watching those fucking big commercial
you
machines.
You watch that How It's Made?
Dude,
shit?
Like shit like that, dude, I could almost masturbate to. Almost. Like, I'm just like, look at the way it wraps those Tootsie Rolls. That's fucking genius. Look at that machine. Look how it does that. But but that's how I work, man. Like, my brain, like, I can walk into a machine and be like, oh, okay, this does this and this does this. So that's really fascinating to me.
Huh.
The Flugel takes the plumbus. And
so I would agree with Max on that, man. Like, once that machine works as efficiently as it can, even though it's not necessarily beautiful, it is.
It's
you know,
function.
It may not be pretty, but its function is so beautiful. Precise and efficient that it does. It actually, you can actually
so
get mesmerized by the system when you're watching that kind of a kind
it
of a
certainly
thing.
Certainly is form follows function at that point. The function is what the
Instead of putting a nice shell on it to make it look cool.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a fucking Corvette.
Which is like what a lot of cars are now, man. Like it's mostly like it's a flashy shell on top of a piece of shit fucking core.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know,
a lot of American cars are like.
Sure. Yeah. Just hate.
How
are we going to make America great again if that's how you feel about
it,
man?
I've got the best words. I know things. I have a lot of.
I get that question a lot. Can I say something? You're interrupting me like crazy.
It's like so you asked me that question. I get that question a lot actually. How are we gonna make America great? We're gonna make America great again, okay? We're gonna make it great. We're gonna keep
How does it
Have you
matter?
Ever listened to that man talk? I'm not gonna even go there.
You just did.
Christ.
Okay. Would you rather talk about crown molding for 30 minutes?
I would
then?
Love to talk about crown molding.
Well,
are
go,
you
buddy.
Fucking kidding. God, I wish Jay was here.
And I do believe that a lot of that stuff has its place.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than like ostentatious shit like that, that's out of place.
Okay.
Like when you have an 800 square foot apartment that has crown molding in it.
Listen,
crown
yeah.
molding if is you... made to be in big rooms, like big rooms.
Yeah.
And then it can actually look really good in a big room.
You know what's
big
interesting
houses.
About crown molding is it is one of the best things to like put on a set, on a stage set.
Oh, to hide wiring. Yeah.
Well, to hide wiring, but like it also it finishes it because basically you've got this big empty space and you make a wall and then it gives
this
like border
which
is
like
essentially
the illusion of a ceiling. Essentially.
Right.
That's the idea behind crown molding to begin with. It hides a shitty corner.
Interesting. I didn't. Is it?
And nowadays, when you see it in like hotels and stuff like that, if you see crown molding and stuff like that in hallways, it's because it's an older hotel. And it was all hard ceiling and sheetrock ceiling and all that. And to get new wiring for internet, phone, and everything else that wasn't available at the time that they built the hotel, that's where they hide all the wiring is behind the crown
to keep
molding.
It out of sight.
Gives your eye kind of a visual.
So since I know
border,
that kind of stuff, I can go into a hotel and be like, oh, this thing's been remodeled recently.
Yeah.
You know?
That's interesting.
Is there like the history of crown? Like, is there a regal aspect to crown molding? Did we, like, steal that from the aristocrats back in ye olden time?
Yeah, I think so, because it's one of them things that is expensive, man. It's a nice formed piece of wood, man. Like, it used to have to be carved. Like, it was, you know, and you're talking about something that's probably, like, hand or machine done, but by men,
was
you know, back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, definitely hand milled or whatever back in the day. And then you could afford a lot of it because... You know, if you had one of those big fucking houses, you're talking about hundreds or possibly even
thousands
of feet of handmade fucking molding, you know?
Huh.
And so that definitely was a...
Okay.
An I've got money kind of addendum to the house.
So with too much being, or how much being too much, is it a matter of like thickness of molding? Like... 2 feet
I would
of
say
molding
application.
On a
well, it certainly depends on the size
40
of the
foot
room.
Ceiling.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would definitely say, I think his question is like, not how much of the actual crown molding there is, but how much
ostentation.
Like when
much.
Does it become.
Okay.
When does it start to not look good?
Fuck.
Yeah, when does it become gaudy?
Gaudy, yeah. I think really it depends. Like, if you've got a single-story ranch-style house, you should not have fucking crown molding. Extraneous baseboard, wainscoting, chair rail.
Yeah.
Like, If you have a colonial style house, yeah, totally. That's
absolutely
awesome.
If you have 12-foot ceilings in your house, crown molding can look really good because it definitely it's a nice
there's enough space there.
Yeah, it's a nice segue from wall to ceiling.
But if you've got if you've got an eight foot ceiling and you've got, you know, a 6-inch piece of crown molding on there, that's bordering on way too much.
Okay, yeah. Just because the space in between floor
and
ceiling.
Stylistically, I mean, like.
Yeah, stylistically.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, if you're
you've
in
got, like,
a...
you know, Roman style, you know, fluted crown molding, shit like that, that's not going to look
like
good.
There's right. A lot of chrome accessories you could put on your car. You could do the racing stripes, the, you know, everything else. You
but
can
if you
do this and that.
All of them?
But if you do all of it, it becomes too much.
I've got the Platinum Edition Toyota Tundra.
Exactly, yeah.
So what other, like. What other accessories can you put on a house or in a room, like structurally, that are similar to molding?
Well, not structurally, but aesthetically.
Aesthetically.
Like, I would say, like shutters in a place that doesn't really require shutters. Shutters are more functional. They're in a place that you have a lot of storms, and it's to protect your windows.
Right, from like hurricanes.
So you go outside, close the shutters. Now you have a wooden border between that and the glass.
Okay.
However, some people just glue shutter-looking things on the sides of houses to make it look like they have shutters.
Right.
Yeah. Which is always weird
like
to me
that,
because
like farmhouse aesthetic.
It's just for looks. Yeah. I think when things become just for looks, you really have to – when it's just aesthetic, you really have to be careful with how much of it you use.
Okay.
Because quantity, I think, is important with
because
aesthetics.
There is no function.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Much like makeup on a girl. A little base makeup, a little bit of this, a little touch-up here and there is okay.
Accents
but when somebody
are good.
Cakes their face and makeup, no one finds that attractive.
Then you're like, what are you trying to hide?
Right.
Okay. Interesting. Ben, do you feel similarly? Or
yeah, I don't like to put on too much makeup.
No?
I mean, you do sets, right?
Yeah.
So there's a point to where you're just like, this is too busy.
Yeah.
It's too distracting.
Exactly.
You know, there's got to be when you have just so much shit in the background because the focus is on the play, not the set entirely.
Yeah,
like
for
the
sure.
set, especially with plays that you guys do. Like we watched that Sherlock Holmes one. Very, very minimal sets. Nothing in the background is really taking away from what's going on stage. And you can't have that. You can't if it's too busy in the background. It's going to be distracting, and you're not going to be able to see it.
Totally. Yeah, it was you know, one of those things. It was just like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Is there a lot of the time, because you guys buy a play,
yep.
right? You guys buy a play, and then it comes with set directions, I'm guessing.
Usually like, they give
Are they
the,
loosely scripted set directions?
Sometimes. I mean, a lot of times it says, like, they go to the bar, or they go to the kitchen,
so
or
then
whatever.
You have to actually visually create that bar or that kitchen yourself. They don't send you a picture saying, this is how it should look.
There, I mean, there's various amounts
guidelines.
Of research you can do. Like if it's a play that's been produced a lot, there's kind of things that people tend to expect, especially with musicals and stuff. There's like just kind of, that's how you should do it. Like Cabaret, for example, we're doing this summer. And typically it's done with like there's three doors somewhere on the set that like they either come on or they disappear, you know, whatever they're. But there's three doors. So you just kind of say, okay, well, we have this.
Okay.
These three doors that represent the various hallways and houses in this house.
Did you hire a whole bunch of sexy actresses that you're going to put into lingerie for this show?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good job.
I was I've actually been curious about that a lot. Like if you basically like when you buy something that is a kit, you know, they may say, you know, you need a 48-inch tall table and you build it like this. So you guys don't actually get like a set of plans to build the set. It's not prefabricated on paper at all.
Sometimes they give you a drawing of like a very loose, like overhead view of this is what the original Broadway cast did.
Okay.
This is the original set that this is what we did. And sometimes that just serves to inform
you. So like a template almost.
Again, and it's really more function over form. Like it's like, well, the play calls for the kitchen being somewhere over here on the other side from where the bedroom is or whatever. So that like might come into play because if you arrange it in a certain way where
it
like the bedroom's next to the kitchen and like something happens in the play where someone has to run across the stage really quick. And if it's like a farce, farces are typically very specific on where things need to be because just for the timing of the jokes and
sure.
Like
Scapan
comedy.
Scapan had to probably be like that, I would guess.
That one, yeah. But again, it was like there's two houses next to each other. It's like a street, and that's kind of that's all. You get the basic idea. And then that's what's kind of fun about being a scenic designer and building a set is that you kind of get to come up with your own version of it.
That's,
you know,
cool.
It's not like you go to IKEA, you buy a chair, and you can assemble the chair however really you want. There's like a certain, you know,
right.
Like,
yeah, it has to go to yeah.
Because the pieces
to,
are cut.
Yeah,
to,
yeah, yeah. That's what I was getting at. Was like. Was there?
If you I can, imagine that's what's you, really cool about designing a house, like your own, rather than buying a house that's already got its function.
Can
set.
You IKEA a play? Like, is there some place you could just go
oh,
and
yeah.
be like, doo, 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 doo,
you
doo.
Can you can order a play? You can literally order the set.
I was going to say there has costumes. To be companies out there that just do nothing but build
sure.
sets and then ship them to a theater.
Sure. No, yeah, there's huge companies that do that.
Yeah,
they,
big warehouse style
like,
fucking building.
Oh, I'm going to rent, you know, this company's Cinderella, and they're going to send it to me, and I'm going to adjust it, use what pieces I want.
Yeah,
comes on a big
like,
ass truck, and you just, you know, do that.
Crazy.
You can do that with costumes. Like you can
yeah.
say, oh,
Makes sense.
We did that last year with Lacage. We did Lacage Full, and we ended up ordering a lot of the costumes. We rented them from the Marriott in Chicago.
Huh.
Theater that had just done it, and our director choreographer knew the
yeah.
he was in that production, right?
Of course.
So, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they rented, we filled in with a few other things from our costume designer,
sure.
but that was more out of necessity because our costume designer kind of was awful.
Okay, we don't have to go there,
but anyway, we were gonna make our own, and then it was like it was very obvious that she couldn't deliver, and so we had to rent them.
Mm-hmm. So, what is you guys' breaking point? Like when you build a set and you mm-hmm. stand back and look at it. How do you decide what's too busy, what's not? Like, where's your – is it just more like – is it just like an artistic feeling?
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Is that essentially what does it? Like, you're like, okay, that window's distracting me. I'm focused on that window. Do you kind of try to look at it with fresh eyes? Like, how do you decide how much crown molding is too much?
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. Like we had this – we did this one show that was called Other Desert Cities, and it's like essentially this – huge house out in Palm Desert in Palm
Springs.
Spring, yeah, but it's like the other city. There's one that says Palm Springs. There's a sign, and that's what it's referencing in the play is the title. You as you're on I whatever the interstate going out to Palm Springs. There's a fork in the road, and it goes Palm Springs and Other Desert Cities is what it's called.
Ah, okay.
So is to the right, and so there's like Palm Desert, Palm whatever,
sure, okay.
Springs something, and so there's a bunch of other cities around Palm Springs, it's supposedly. But for instance, so this was like, and it was this big living room, like, you know, this kind of almost sun porch room, like part outdoor, part indoor, fireplace inside, and we did it in the round, and so there was like this big hood over this fireplace that we made, and originally it called for these big 2x4 like timbers that kind of made this roof thing over it. And it ended up being like, it was like, you know what? It's going to be too much. It's going to like, yeah, it would give you some kind of visual cap around the room. But if you've got this big centerpiece in the middle, you don't really need that. So we ended up, and to save money mostly, but also money and time. We cut the roof structure.
Yeah.
It was going to be these kind of like weird gable things going out over the, but we ended up cutting it. I mean, it was just like, you know, it was like, eh. And I think it worked out better. It was simpler. And sometimes simplicity is better. And so.
Do you guys have a good sense, like individually and personally, do you have a good sense of what is too much before you actually see it? Because personally, mm-hmm. like I suck at that. Like the visual field is not my best.
Mm-hmm.
But like I know, like once I see something, I can be like, oh yeah, no, I don't like that at all.
I have a pretty good spatial reality, so I can go somewhere and be like, yes, that'll fit in what I need. I just recently bought some furniture. When I first got it home, I was like, fuck me, everything's too big. You know, and you've been to my house since I've got new furniture. It's not too big.
No,
it's
lovely.
It was just different than what I was used to. So that was kind of hard to deal with. The thing about building, you know, you go and buy furniture and it's typically in these giant fucking warehouses.
Sure.
Well, it's really hard to get that spatial relation there when you're looking at a couch that's in a giant warehouse instead of in a... you know, 15x20 room
that has
which is going to significantly
10-foot ceiling,
right?
Or
it's
whatever
gonna make a significant difference when you actually get it home.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people do that, and you know, of course, that's why they have measuring tapes at American Furniture Warehouse all over the place for the people that can't just eyeball it.
Sure,
I'm pretty good at eyeballing it.
Yeah, sure.
However, I've definitely fucked up and made my mistakes.
I mean, I feel like
we all have.
Yeah, totally. So, is there like some feature?
Yeah, can you do that on a set? Can you get the set design, read through it, and be like, all right, we don't need that middle piece? Or was that more like after you had the set built, you're like, and this is left to do, and then you're like, man, I don't even think we need that out of you know, for the sake of time and you know, finance.
Yeah, we're dealing with that. I deal with that constantly.
On every show, I would guess.
Yeah, can we just, like, not do that? Like, okay. Like, for instance, we're building a – it's like a raised set, so it's – it's like, and it has an overhang. So there's a lit, the set's elevated. So you've got kind of this under platform that we're building. And then there's a deck that hangs over. Like you build the deck.
Kind of cantilever it out or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're trying to figure out, okay, what's the best way to build that for cheaper? And my typical thought is you build the platform to height and then you have some supports coming out on the side. So you can. But you'll get too much flex on the edges of the stage if it's just plywood. You know,
right.
Build it up to height, less 3/4 inch, and then you deck it out.
Right.
But so this one, we're doing it a little bit differently because they really do need to stand on the edge of the platform, and it can't. So you need some, like.
Is this for cabaret or what?
Velocity of Autumn.
Okay.
The upcoming play.
Sure.
So you cantilever it out a little bit.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to build a platform that's 4 inches too short to the height of what the platform needs to be, which is, I think, 18 inches or something, 24 inches maybe. But and then we're going to build a separate, like, deck on top of that with vertical 2x4s.
That extends.
So but the problem is that doubles the amount of wood I need almost.
Sure.
Right.
You know, so it's going to be more expensive,
right,
but it'll
budgetary.
Work better
yeah.
for solidness, for just, and, you know, we're going to try all kinds of different things to make it quiet. Because the problem with building a wooden deck without
it's
insulation
hollow.
It's hollow. It echoes it,
yeah.
and it squeaks when wood is on wood.
Yeah.
And so you walk around and it goes, and it's,
right.
you
which really comes through in a play, I would imagine, especially
yeah,
the
like
thump,
a
thump, thump of
theater.
Walking. Cause you
yeah.
are walking on, you're walking on the body of a guitar essentially.
Mm-hmm.
At that point.
Yeah. So we're trying a few things with like foam strips and stuff on top of the wood to kind of mitigate the sound.
Baffle it a little bit.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting. We're going to put some foam on the underside too, like just on the underside of the platforms, which adds to the weight and, of course, adds to the cost and the materials
sure.
and stuff.
Sure, sure, sure.
But
screws help a lot with that as opposed to nails.
Yeah. Well, we screw everything together because
yeah.
that'll keep everything tight.
Yeah.
Because
nails tend to
nails
allow
yeah.
oh, that makes
wood
sense.
To move.
That makes sense.
Yeah, unless you have
unless
like
you use the other nails that fucking are impossible to get out.
Nails.
Yeah,
yeah.
They work great for holding shit together, but they're terrible to try to get out. They're made to like build something and leave it
right mm-hmm. to never
yeah
never get it destroyed. Yeah. Yeah,
right.
So we've started. We don't use. I have a like a you know a 3-inch pneumatic nail gun, but I don't use it that often.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deck screws work really good for that. Like mm-hmm. those. Hex head fucking deck screws.
Yeah, if
really,
you have the right fit, because then you can
they
just
have,
drive
like,
them.
Coarse on the bottom, fine at the top, and then the spot for the wood, like,
yep.
like an empty spot. So it like mm-hmm. it cruises through the wood really good and grabs everything, and then the tight shit fucking really cinches
just
the top two
okay.
pieces together, and then
huh.
yeah, it works really mm-hmm. well.
Crazy,
but they kind of suck because
they're hard to get out.
Yeah, they wallow out
again
pretty easy.
Okay,
and I built all the shit in my garage with deck screws and. I feel for who the motherfucker that has to pull that apart.
Got you.
Yeah.
Got you. So
what
do you guys...
That's a problem for a future Ben to worry about.
Yeah,
Both of you guys are handy and own tools and build things. And like, so do you guys have any... What are like sexy features of a room? If you like molding, like is there some accessory...
Inset shelving is my new like fetish right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I'm about to
shelving.
Do that with my... I'm about to do floating shelves
yeah.
in a...
Like built-in shelving
yep.
and storage is like...
Okay.
Key.
Okay.
Because again, but I think again that's more function over form. But if you make the form look good too,
right?
Like, rather than buying a bunch of fucking IKEA dressers and cabinets and shit, if it's
sure.
already built in and it looks good, it's flush with
then
the counter.
Theoretically, it takes up less
yeah.
space.
I mean, you can really transform a house with just trim.
Yeah.
Just fucking trim, man. You can really change
huh.
the look of a house with just trim. Maybe a couple of new doors. Like you can really make a big difference.
Interesting.
With just
with
wood.
Just like that little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Makes sense.
I'm a real yeah. fan of like unfinished wood. Is like, if you've seen my house, obviously,
yeah.
like
natural wood. Yeah,
all the shelves is like I should
natural
seal
stain.
All. Yeah, yeah, but like I'm not. I don't know.
And none of it's even sealed, or
no, it's all sealed. It's like the countertops and stuff are. They've got a. It's got a stain and a steel on seal on it. It's kind of this. It's like a honey.
Yeah.
Some of the cabinets are unfinished, and I kind of like that. Like the sliding cabinets that I built. mm-hmm. that hold guitars. I like that. But it's light enough that it, and the other wood in the house that's like finished and prefab stuff is all like light color.
It's like, yeah. Okay. Like I'm a big fan of stain, man, because
Stain's great.
Wood to me is pretty.
Yeah.
Like wood has a lot of fucking characteristics. It's got
no pieces. You know,
it's got
the
its
same.
Own. Yes, yeah. Yeah. No piece is the yeah, same, really, man. You know, it's I really, beautiful. Really enjoy it.
We got these new, like, I found this new, it's like pine press board. It's like really, it's like 2-inch strips of pine that have like been biscuit jointed together into like, so it's
I know what you're talking
like
about.
Stripe yeah. board, but it you can get it in like 24-inch widths. It's only 3/4-inch.
So thick. each 2-inch strip is different.
Oh.
And different yeah. colors and
okay.
all that.
You yeah. can stain that, like, man, that's really
cool. Yeah, because since the wood's different, like, each piece will actually absorb stain differently than the next.
Oh,
so you'll
makes
end up
sense.
With, like, a dark piece and a light piece.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, or a darker cool. piece and a lighter yeah. piece.
Huh.
Really makes for a pretty scene.
So, like, in fashion, they say that, you know, we actually talk about how trends come back and, like, does the same thing happen
yes.
in home design?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Dark wood is back now, mm-hmm. where dark wood was really big in the 80s, having dark carpet, dark trim, and then it went really light for a long time. The 80s also had a bunch of
late 80s,
like,
early 90s.
It was like a lot of golden oak mm-hmm. was really, really popular. Now you go into a place that has a lot of golden oak. Matter of fact, there's one over here in the Enclave that just got where you live that mm-hmm. just got remodeled that I used to go into. You walk in and you can instantly see that it has not been touched since 1981. It's still got a lot of gold fixtures. You know, gold. You know,
oh, yeah,
gold
totally.
And brass. Like, yeah, gold and brass was
okay.
big.
Now everything's
and,
aluminum.
And, but yeah, it was light okay. oak. Now the big thing is like light brushed alder, steel. Light pine. And now, actually, the big thing in all the big houses that I go to now, all the big new, you know, million-dollar houses and shit like that, man, it's a lot of dark alder and, you know, stain like that. Alder's
almost
a real
like
great wood.
Yeah, yeah. Coming back. Dark,
nice and dark.
Dark colors.
You know, because like dark and light really provide an excellent contrast, you know,
sure.
to each other and really add a lot of depth to a room.
Sure.
So I tend to be more, I like, wow. I like more
Jay,
dark,
send us an
darkish
email.
Woods.
I want to know your... I want to know your thoughts on all this stuff because yeah. Jay has a really good aesthetic as well in both the stage world, but also like, you
yeah.
know,
and I'm house. Guessing this came from, he was recently working at his parents' house and doing some other shit.
Yeah, he replaced all the siding on his parents' house.
Right. And there, and I'm sure he's been to a point where they're like, yeah, I want crown molding in here. And he's like, it's a 10x8 room,
yeah.
you know, because I'm sure there was something that spawned that question, you know,
sure.
Some incident he had. It would make sense to me.
I've yet to find like a really good. I don't know. I feel like crown molding, especially, is like it should be painted. It shouldn't be like unfinished.
It should
wood.
Be a contrast from.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, like crown an molding. Accent
it could
color.
Be stained. It could,
yeah,
you
yeah.
Could
stain.
Do it, like stain.
Yeah, you could
really,
stain
like
it.
A really dark stain.
But then you have to get like the real
depends
wood, you know. Like a
yeah.
lot of the shit now is some kind of press board. You know, it's like fed out of a
yeah.
out of a fucking
yeah.
tube. You know,
so it's like made to be white.
What's the word
yeah.
I'm looking for?
MDF
extruded.
Yeah,
oh.
it's extruded now.
Okay.
Yeah. So
okay, MDF.
So, medium density fiber board.
Yeah, it's a plastic like, and wood.
Oh, okay,
really glue and wood.
Got you.
Glue. It,
like
a lot of times
it's
like sawdust.
Yeah,
like it's sawdust yeah. and wood.
Yeah,
that and glue.
Yeah.
Like sawdust and glue that mixes
they
together.
Pressurize it. They heat it, superheat
totally.
It, and it like forms this really
a byproduct of doing other things.
Yeah, yeah,
sure.
yeah.
The problem is,
well, yeah,
it's really
you know, it's
fucking heavy because half of it's glue, like
yeah.
more than half of it's glue, and
yeah.
it's like it,
which
it,
is a great way for the. I mean, it's awesome that like you take a company that does process a lot of wood, and now they
mill.
Can actually use their fucking sawdust. As a fucking product, man. Like, there's very little waste with that. My
flavored idea. Pretzel bits.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You're like,
yeah, the,
yeah.
Yeah.
Throw some
generic
dust on
cigarettes.
It. And, yeah, exactly.
You know, you're getting a fucking generic pack of cigarettes, man. There's a little bit of dust and lint in it because that's the shit that fell off the tray.
Oh, interesting. And so,
you
like,
know?
That's, like, the lesser brands.
Right.
Like,
that's the cheaper
Winston
brands because
Marlboro.
it's not the good tobacco that's coming right out of the
sure.
thing. It's kind of the shit that doesn't quite make it.
It's
so then it becomes the B grade, C grade fucking
like at
tobacco.
The dispensary.
Because it has.
It's not as pretty.
Yeah, it has stuff in it.
Pure.
Yeah, it's not as pure. You
fascinating.
Know?
Yeah. It's like mouse droppings in your chocolate bar. It just is going to happen. Sorry.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, hey, thanks for downloading and listening to Ignorant and Uninformed.
On that note, yeah. get the fuck out of here.
That's funny. That is funny. I don't know, Jay. How much is too much? I think it all depends on the aesthetic of the room. Is really like.
Oh, are we not signing out?
Size
you
of
just...
the room? No, I really was. I was just trying to wrap it up with
okay.
something other than mouse dropping.
Oh, but, why?
don't know, man. I don't know. Certainly, mouse droppings are no.
And,
really,
and of course, that's very
you know.
That's a very subjective thing too. You know, is like every fucking accessory is awesome versus accessories suck.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. Well, thanks for downloading and listening to Ignorant and Uninformed, America's favorite podcast. This is your host signing off, Mr. Benji Pickens.
Yeah, crown molding.
Crown molding. Mr. Max Sarakistan Sarak.
Woo, crown molding.
And I am Ben Hollywood Whitmore. Hey, make sure you download all the podcasts at ignorantanduninformed.com. Make sure you send us your topics to topics@ignorantanduninformed.com. Or like us on Facebook, facebook.com/ignorantanduninformed. Check us out on Twitter, twank us at Ig and Un. We're going to be back next week with a brand new epidose of hot-ass freshness all up in your grill. Peace off.